Okay, so today I'd like to recite the story of Sumedha. Sumedha is the name of the bodhisatta, or in Sanskrit you say bodhisattva, who later became known as the Buddha Gautama, or Siddhartha Gautama, or Sakyamuni, or all of the many names that he was given. And this is sort of a lead up to what I'll be talking about this afternoon, because this afternoon I'm going to be talking about I'm going to be giving a story from one of the lives of the Bodhisattva. My favorite story, probably my favorite story of all time, and the longest and most like an epic of all the stories. But as sort of a background to that, I thought I'd take us right back to the beginning. And for anybody who's kind of wondering, who is the Buddha, who was the Bodhisattva, and what is it that he had to do, what is it that he did, where did Buddhism start? And this is a poem about where Buddhism started, where our I guess, I'm sorry, you can't say that, because Buddhism is something that is always around whenever there's a Buddha arisen. But I think everyone will admit that in the present time, the only reason that we are aware of Buddhism at all is because of one very special person. And so, as far as where Buddhism starts, I'm going to let's just agree on the fact that this is one starting point, one way we can say where Buddhism started, and this is a very, very long time ago. And it starts off by saying how long ago that was. And maybe I can give some commentary afterwards about exactly how long ago it was. But due to time constraints, I'm not sure how long it takes to read this. I'll just get started now. So please make yourself comfortable, and please save all comments and discussion for after I've finished. And please take it as a chance to meditate as well. So I'll try to be very in tune with what's being said. 100,000 cycles vast, and four immensities ago, there was a town named Amara, a place of beauty and delights. It had the noises 10 complete, and food and drink abundantly. The noise of elephant and horse, of conch shell, drum, and chariot, and invitations to partake, "Eat ye and drink," resounded loud. A town complete in all its parts, where every industry was found, and eke the 7 precious gems, and foreigners from many lands. A prosperous city of the gods, full of good works and holy men. Within this town of Amara, Sumedha lived, of Brahmin caste, who many tens of millions had, and grain and treasure in full store. A student he, and wise in spells, a master of the Vedas 3. He fortunes told, tradition knew, and every duty of his caste. In secret then I sat me down, and thus to ponder I began. What misery to be born again, and have the flesh dissolve at death. Subject to birth, old age, disease, extinction will I seek to find, where no decay is ever known, nor death, but all security. What if I now should rid me of this body foul, this charnel house, and go my way without a care or least regret for things behind? There must be an escape. Impossible there should not be. I'll make the search and find the way which from existence shall release. Even as, although there misery is, yet happiness is also found, so, though indeed existence is, a non-existence should be sought. Even as, although there may be heat, yet grateful cold is also found, so, though the threefold fires exist, likewise nirvana should be sought. Even as, although there evil is, that which is good is also found. So, though it is true that birth exists, that which is not birth should be sought. even as a man befouled with dung, seeing a brimming lake at hand, and natheless bathing not therein, were senseless should he chide the lake. So when Nirvana's lake exists, to wash away corruption's stain, should I not seek to bathe therein, I might not then Nirvana chide. Even as a man hemmed in by foes, seeing a certain safe escape, and natheless seeking not to flee, might not the blameless pathway chide. So when my passions hem me in, and yet a way to bliss exists, should I not seek to follow it, that way of bliss I might not chide. Even as a man who sore diseased, when a physician may be had, should fail to send to have him come, might the physician then not chide. So when diseased with passion sore oppressed, I seek the master not, whose ghostly counsel might me cure, the blame should not on him be laid. Even as a man might rid him of a horrid corpse bound to his neck, and then upon his way proceed, joyous and free and unconstrained. So must I likewise rid me of this body foul, this charnel house, and go my way without a care or least regret for things behind. As men and women rid them of their dung upon the refuse heap, and go their way without a care or least regret for what they leave. So will I likewise rid me of this body foul, this charnel house, and go my way as if I had cast out my filth into the draught. Even as the owners leave and quit a worn-out, shattered, leaky ship, and go their way without a care or least regret for what they leave, so will I likewise rid me of this nine-holed, ever-trickling frame, and go my way as owners do who ship disrupted leave behind. Even as a man who treasure bears and finds him in a robber gang will quickly flee and rid him of the robbers lest they steal his gold. So too a mighty robber might be likened well this body's frame. I'll cast it off and go my way, lest of my welfare I be robbed. Thus thinking I on rich and poor, all that I had in alms bestowed. Hundreds of millions spent I then, and made to Himavant my way. Not far away from Himavant there was a hill named Dhammaka, and here I made and patterned well a hermitage and hut of leaves. A walking place I then laid out, exempted from the five defects, and having all the virtues eight, and there I gained the six high powers. Then ceased I cloaks of cloth to wear, for cloaks possess the nine defects, and girded on a barkin dress, which is with virtues 12 endued. My hut of leaves I then forsook, and so crowded with the eight defects, and at the foot of trees I lived, for such abodes have virtues 10. No sown and cultivated grain allowed I then to be my food, but all the many benefits of wild fruit fare I made my own. And strenuous effort made I there, the while I sat or stood or walked, and ere 7 days had passed away, I had attained the powers high. When I had thus success attained and made me master of the law, a conqueror, lord of all the world, was born by name Dipankara. What time he was conceived, was born, what time he Buddhaship attained, when first he preached, the signs appeared, I saw them not, deep sunk in trance. Then in the distant borderland invited they this being great, and everyone with joyful heart the pathway for his coming cleared. Now so I happened at this time that I my hermitage had left, and bark and garments rustling loud was passing o'er them through the air. Then saw I everyone on alert, well pleased, delighted, overjoyed, and coming downward from the sky, the multitude I straightway asked, "Well pleased, delighted, overjoyed, and all alert is everyone. For whom is being cleared the way, and the path the track to travel on? When thus I asked, response was made, a mighty Buddha has appeared, a conqueror, lord of all the world, whose name is called Dipankara. For him is being cleared the way, the path, the track to travel on. This word, the Buddha, when I heard, joy sprang up straightway in my heart. A Buddha, Buddha, cried I then, and published my heart's content. And standing there, I pondered deep, by joyous agitation seized. Here will I now some good seed sow, nor let this fitting season slip. For a Buddha, do ye clear the road, then pray, grant also me a place. I too will help to clear the way, the path, the track to travel on. And so they granted also me a portion of the path to clear, and I again clear, while still my heart said, Buddha, Buddha, o'er and o'er. But ere my part was yet complete, Dipankara, the mighty sage, the conqueror, came that way along, thronged by 400,000 saints, without depravity or spot, and having each the 6 high powers. The people then their greetings gave, and many kettle drums were beat, and men and gods in joyous mood loud shouted their applauding cries. Then men and gods together met and saw each other face to face, and all with joined hands upraised followed the Buddha and his train. The gods with instruments divine, the men with those of human make, triumphant music played, and well they followed in the Buddha's train. Celestial beings from on high threw broadcast over all the earth the erythrina flower of heaven, the lotus and the coral flower. And men abiding on the ground on every side flung up in the air champakas, salalas, nipas, nagas, punagas, ketakas. Then loosened I my matted hair, and spreading out upon the mud my dress of bark and cloak of skin, I laid me down upon my face. Let now on me the Buddha tread, with the disciples of his train. Can I but keep him from the mire, to me great merit shall accrue. While thus I lay upon the ground, arose within me many thoughts. Today, if such were my desire, I my corruptions might consume. But why thus in an unknown guise should I the doctrine's fruit secure? Omniscience first will I achieve, and be a Buddha in the world. Or why should I, a valorous man, the ocean seek to cross alone? Omniscience first will I achieve, and men and gods convey it across. Since now I make this earnest wish in presence of this best of men, omniscience sometime I'll achieve, and multitudes convey across. I'll rebirth circling stream arrest, destroy existence's 3 modes, I'll climb the sides of doctrine's ship, and men and gods convey across. Who saintship gains and teacher meets, as hermit lives and virtue loves, nor lacks resolve nor fiery zeal, can by these 8 conditions joined make his most earnest wish succeed. Dipankara, who knew all worlds, recipient of offerings, came to halt my pillow near, and thus addressed the multitudes. Behold ye now this monk austere, his matted locks, his penance fierce. Lo, he a numbered cycles hence, a Buddha in the world shall be. From the fair town called Kapila, his great retirement shall be made. Then when his struggle fierce is o'er, his stern austerity is performed, he shall in quiet sit him down beneath the Ajapala tree. Their pottage made of rice receive, and seek the stream Niranjala. This pottage shall the conqueror eat beside the stream Niranjala, and thence by road triumphal go to where the tree of wisdom stands. Then shall the peerless, glorious one walk to the right round wisdom's throne, and there the Buddhaship achieve while sitting at the fig tree's root. The mother that shall bring him forth shall Maya called be by name. Suddhodana his father's name, his own name shall be Gotama. Kolita Upatissatu, these shall his chief disciples be, both undeprived, both passions free, both tranquil and serene of mind. Ananda shall be his servitor, and on the conqueror attend. Kema and Upalavana shall female chief disciples be, both undepraved, both passion-free, and tranquil and serene of mind. The bow tree of this blessed one shall be the tree Asatta called. Thus spake the unequaled mighty sage, and all, while they had heard his speech, both men and gods rejoiced and said, "Behold, a Buddha scion here." Now shouts were heard on every side, the people clapped their arms and laughed. 10,000 worlds of men and gods paid me their homage then and said, "If of our Lord Dipankara the doctrine now we fail to grasp, we yet shall stand in time to come before this other face to face. Even as when men a river cross and miss the opposing landing place, a lower landing place they find, and there the river bank ascend. Even so we all, if we let slip the presence of the conqueror that we have, yet still shall stand in time to come before this other face to face." Dipankara, who all worlds knew, recipient of offerings, my future having prophesied, his right foot raised and went his way. And all who were this conqueror's sons walked to the right around me then, and serpents, men, and demigods, saluting me, departed hence. Now when the leader of the world had passed from sight with all his train, my mind with rapturous transport filled, I raised me up from where I lay. Then overjoyed with joy I was, delighted with a keen delight, and thus with pleasure saturate, I sat me down with legs across. And well cross-legged there I sat, I thus reflected to myself, "Behold, in trance am I adept, and all the powers high are mine. Nowhere throughout 1,000 worlds are any seers equal to me. Unequalled in the magic arts have I this height of bliss attained, and well I sat with legs across. The dwellers of 10,000 worlds rolled forth a glad and mighty shout, 'Surely a Buddha thou shalt be.' The presages that erst were seen when future Buddhas sat cross-legged, these presages are seen today, 'Surely a Buddha shalt thou be.' All cold is everywhere dispelled and mitigated is the heat, these presages are seen today, 'Surely a Buddha thou shalt be.' The system of 10,000 worlds is hushed to quiet and to peace. These presages are seen today. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. The mighty winds then cease to blow, nor do the rivers onward glide. These presages are seen today. Surely a Buddha shalt thou be. All plants, be they of land or stream, do straightway put their blossoms forth. Even so today they all have bloomed. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. And every tree and every vine is straightway laden down with fruit. Even so today they're laden down. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. In sky and earth doth straightway then full many a radiant gem appear. Even so today they shine afar. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Then straightway music's heard to play amongst men on earth and gods in heaven. So all today in music joined, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. There falleth straightway down from heaven a rain of many colored flowers. Even so today these flowers are seen, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. The mighty ocean heaves and roars, and all the world's 10,000 quake. Even so is now this tumult heard, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Straightway throughout the whole of hell the fires 10,000 all die out. Even so today they have expired. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Unclouded then the sun shines forth and all the stars appear to view. Even so today do they appear. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Straightway, although no rain has fallen, burst springs of water from the earth. Even so today they gush in streams. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. And bright then shine the starry hosts and constellations in the sky. The moon in Libra now doth stand. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. All beasts that lurk in holes and clefts, then get them forth from out their lairs. Even so today they've left their dens. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Straightway content is all the world, and no unhappiness is known. Even so today are all content. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Then every sickness vanishes, and hunger likewise disappears. These presages are seen today. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Then lust doth dwindle and glow and grow weak, and hate infatuation too. Even so today they disappear. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Then fear and danger are unknown, and all we are freed from them today. And by this token we perceive. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. No dust upwhirleth towards the sky, even so today this thing is seen, and by this token we perceive. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. All noisome odors drift away, and heavenly fragrance fills the air. Even so the winds now sweetness waft. Surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Then all the gods appear to view, save those that hold the formless realm. Even so today these all are seen, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Then clearly seen are all the hells, however many be their tale. Even so today may all be seen, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Through walls and doors and mountain rocks one finds an easy passage then, even so today they yield like air, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Existence then forbears its round of death and rebirth for a time. Even so today this thing is seen, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. Do thou a strenuous effort make, do not turn back, go on, advance. Make certainly we know this thing, surely a Buddha thou shalt be. When I had heard the Buddha's speech, and what the world's 10,000 said, well pleased, delighted, overjoyed, I thus reflected to myself. The Buddhas never liars are. A conqueror's word ne'er yet was vain. Nothing but truth the Buddhas speak. Surely a Buddha I shall be. As clods thrown upward in the air fall surely back upon the earth, so what the glorious Buddhas speak is sure and steadfast to the end. Nothing but truth the Buddhas speak. Surely a Buddha I shall be. As also for each living thing the approach of death is ever sure, so what the glorious Buddhas speak is sure and steadfast to the end. Nothing but truth the Buddhas speak, surely a Buddha I shall be. As at the waning of the night the rising of the sun is sure, so what the glorious Buddhas speak is sure and steadfast to the end. Nothing but the truth the Buddhas speak, surely a Buddha I shall be. As when he issues from his den, the roaring of the lions sure, so what the glorious Buddhas speak is sure and steadfast to the end. Nothing but the truth the Buddhas speak, surely a Buddha I shall be. As when a female has conceived, her bringing forth of young is sure, so what the glorious Buddhas speak is sure and steadfast to the end. Nothing but truth the Buddhas speak, surely a Buddha I shall be. Come now, I'll search, that I may find conditions which a Buddha make, above, below, to all 10 points, where'er the conditions hold their sway. And then I searched, and saw the first perfection which consists in alms, that high road great, whereon of old the former seers had ever walked. Come now, this first one adopt, this one as first adopt, and practice it determinedly. Acquire perfection in thy alms, if thou to wisdom wouldst attain. And when a jar is brimming full, and someone overturneth it, the jar its waters all give forth, and nothing for itself keeps back. So when a suppliant thou dost see, of mean or high or middling rank, give all in alms, in nothing stint, e'en as the overturned jar. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha make. Still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. Perfection second then I sought, and lo, the precepts came to view, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now as second this adopt, and practice it determinedly, the precepts to perfection keep, if thou to wisdom wouldst attain. As when a yak, cow's flowing tail, is firmly caught by bush or thorn, she thereupon awaits her death, but will not tear and mar her tail. So likewise thou in stages four observe and keep the precepts whole, on all occasions guard them well, as every yak cow does her tail. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha make. Still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then perfection third I sought, which is renunciation called, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now this one as third adopt, and practice it determinedly, renounce and in perfection grow, if thou to wisdom wouldst attain. Even as a man who long has dwelt in prison suffering miserably, no liking for the place conceives, but only longeth for release. So likewise thou must every mode of being as a prison view, renunciation be thy aim, thus from existence free thyself. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha make. Still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then I sought and found the fourth perfection, which is wisdom called, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now this one as fourth adopt, and practice it determinedly, wisdom to its perfection bring, and if thou to wisdom wouldst attain. Just as a priest when on his rounds, nor low nor high nor middling folk doth shun but begs of every one, and so his daily food receives, so to the learned I resort, and seek thy wisdom to increase, and when this fourth perfection's gained, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha make. Still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then I sought and found the fifth perfection, which is courage called, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now this one as fifth adopt, and practice it determinedly, in courage perfect strive to be, if thou to wisdom wouldst attain. Just as the lion, king of beasts, in crouching, walking, standing still, with courage ever is instinct, and watchful always and alert, so thou in each repeated birth courageous energy display, and when this fifth perfection's gained, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha make. Still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then I sought and found the sixth perfection, which is patience called, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now this one as sixth adopt, and practice it determinedly, and if thou keep an even mood, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. Just as the earth, whatever's thrown upon her, whether sweet or foul, all things endures and never shows repugnance nor complacency, e'en so, or honor thou or scorn, of men with patient mood must bear, and when this sixth perfection's gained, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha makes. Still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then I sought and found the seventh perfection, which is that of truth, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now this one as seventh adopt, and practice it determinedly, if thou art ne'er of double speech, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. Just as the morning star on high its balanced course doth ever keep, and through all seasons, times, and years doth never from its pathway swerve, so likewise thou in all thy speech swerve never from the path of truth. And when this seventh perfection's gained, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha makes. Still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then I sought and found the eighth perfection, resolution called, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now, this one as eighth, adopt and practice it determinedly, and when thou art immovable, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. Just as a rocky mountain peak unmoved stands firm established, unshaken by the boisterous gales and always in its place abides, so likewise thou must ever be in resolution firm entrenched, and when this eighth perfection's gained, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha makes, still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then I sought and found the ninth perfection, which is called goodwill, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now, this one as ninth adopt, and practice it determinedly, unequaled by be in thy goodwill, if thou to wisdom wouldst attain. As water cleanseth all alike, the righteous and the wicked too, from dust and dirt of every kind, and with refreshing coolness fills, so likewise thou both friend and foe, alike with thy goodwill refresh, and when this ninth perfection's gained, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. But now there must be more than these conditions which a Buddha makes, still others will I seek to find that shall in Buddhaship mature. And then I sought and found the tenth perfection, called equanimity, which mighty seers of former times had practiced and had followed. Come now, this one as tenth adopt, and practice it determinedly, and when thou art of equal poise, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. Just as the earth, whatever is thrown upon her, whether sweet or foul, indifferent is to all alike, no hatred shows nor amity. So likewise thou, in good or ill, must ever, even balanced, ever be, and when this tenth perfection's gained, a Buddha's wisdom shall be thine. But earth no more conditions has, that in the Buddhaship mature. Beyond these there are none to seek, so practice these determinedly. Now pondering these conditions ten, their nature, essence, character, such fiery vigor had they all, that all the worlds 10,000 quaked. Then shook and creaked the wide, wide earth, as doth the sugar mill at work. Then quake the ground, as doth the wheel of oil mills when they're made to turn. The entire assemblage that was there and followed in the Buddha's train trembled and shook in great alarm and fell astonished to the ground. And many thousand water parts and pots and many hundred earthen jars were one upon another dashed and crushed and pounded into dust. Excited, trembled, terrified, confused and sore oppressed in mind, the multitudes together came, and two Dipankara approached. O tell us, what these signs portend, will good or ill betide the world? Lo, terror seizes hold on all, dispel our fears, all-seeing one. The great sage then, Dipankara, allayed and pacified their fears, be comforted and fear thee not. For that the world doth quake and shake. Of whom today I made proclaim a glorious Buddha shall he be, he now conditions pondereth which former conquerors fulfilled. 'Tis well on these he is intent as basis for the Buddhaship, the ground in worlds 10,000 shakes, in all the realms of gods and men. When thus they'd heard the Buddha speak, their anxious minds received relief, and all then drawing near to me, again they did me reverence. Thus on the road to Buddhaship, and firm determined in my mind, I raised me up from off my seat in reverence, Dipankara. Then as I raised me from my seat, both gods and men in unison, sweet flowers of heaven and flowers and earth, of earth, profusely sprinkled on my head. And gods and men in unison, their great delight proclaimed aloud, a mighty prayer thou now hast made, succeed according to thy wish. From all misfortunes be thou free, let every sickness disappear, mayest thou no hindrance ever know, and highest wisdom soon achieve. As when the time of spring has come, the trees put forth their buds and flowers, likewise dost thou, O hero great, with knowledge of a Buddha bloom. As all they who have Buddhas been, the 10 perfections have fulfilled, likewise do thou, O hero great, the 10 perfections strive to gain. As all they who have Buddhas been, on wisdom's throne their insight gained, likewise do thou, O hero great, on conqueror's throne thy insight gain. As all they who have Buddhas been, have made the doctrine's wheel to roll, likewise do thou, O hero great, make doctrine's wheel to roll once more. As on the midday of the month the moon in full perfection shines, likewise do thou, with perfect mind, shine brightly in 10,000 worlds. As when the sun by Rahu freed shines forth exceeding bright and clear, so thou, when freed from ties of earth, shine forth in bright magnificence. Just as the rivers of all lands into the ocean find their way, may gods and men from every world approach and find their way to thee. Thus praise they me with glad acclaim, and I, beginning to fulfill the 10 conditions of my quest, re-entered then into the wood. Thank you. That's the story of Sumedha.